Hi everyone, Pamela Larg here, your host of the Energy Transitions podcast. If you enjoy listening to our bi-weekly podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button and take a moment to leave a rating or review wherever you're listening. This will help us spread the message and connect with our community. Thanks again for listening to the Energy Transitions podcast from Enlit and Friends. Rotterdam, a Dutch city with a unique set of challenges, but also with a can-do attitude that's driving the city's energy transition. It's a hub of industrial activity and therefore is a major polluter. But Rotterdam is also embracing innovation and maximizing green policy to achieve its ambitious sustainability goals. To get insights from a die-hard Rotterdammer, I'm joined by the city's vice mayor, Chantal Zegers, who explains why the city is a model of energy transition and the perfect host city for the World Energy Congress taking place later this year. In an era where energy transition can be a polarizing topic, Zegers explains why putting people at the center of the energy transition is critical to achieving sustainable change. I'm your host, Pamela Larg, and this episode of the Energy Transitions podcast is brought to you in partnership with World Energy Council in the lead up to the 2024 World Energy Congress taking place in Rotterdam from 22 to 25 April. Chantal, thank you so much for joining me. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you today about a topic that I'm sure is close to your heart, and that is Rotterdam. What an amazing city, and really it's an icon of energy transition and change. Before we even start talking about energy transition and the great things happening there, can you tell us a little bit about the city? I've never been to Rotterdam, and perhaps some of our listeners haven't been to the city either. So what is it like?
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'm glad to be here in the show. I'm a very proud citizen of Rotterdam. I've been born here and I'm 57 years old, so I live quite a long time in Rotterdam, not all the time. And I would characterize our city as a very raw, but also very inclusive and lively. So we are speaking our heart out. The Rotterdammer is never shy to say what he means or he or she thinks. We are a city of 650,000 people, approximately. It's close to the North Sea, so we are in the Delta. It's very industrialized. We have one of the biggest harbors of the world, so with a very raw industry, but also, on the other hand, very nice neighborhoods. We have high rise, but also villages. So it's very diverse. You can see everything you want in Rotterdam. And we have very nice cafes and things like that. So I would really advise everyone to come to the World Energy Congress, because Rotterdam as a city is hosting it. And it's very nice to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have a Rotterdammer in the house. I'm sure I'm not saying that correctly, but it's lovely to have you with us. And please do speak your heart out and tell us exactly what's happening on the ground, because that's what we want to know. That is a good segue into my next question, which is about the energy transition. Because when it comes to decarbonization, Rotterdam as a city has really big ambitions. How are you tracking with these ambitions?
Yeah, well, we have the big ambitions because, as I told you, we have this big industry in our harbor, and they are responsible for like 20% of the total emissions in the Netherlands. So if the Netherlands wants to become climate neutral, our harbor, our industry, has to become climate neutral. And we have pathways developed to do so. So instead of oil industry, which is now the case, we want to be the hydrogen hub of the Netherlands or Europe even, is a transition that's huge. And we need every partner to do so. So we have different goals and we work with our port authority to reach those goals. Also with the national government, of course, because it's something we cannot do from the city. We need the companies, we need the national government to get this big energy transition going. So that's, I think, one of the main things we have to do is to really change the energy system in the harbor. So that's our main goal. But we also have a city We are close to the North Sea, as I just told you. So when the sea levels are rising, our city will get hit, of course. So we also need to do things on climate adaptation, which is also very, to water management is also very important. Apart from sea level rising, also the heavy raining that is affecting our city. So we are living in this delta. We experience everything that has to do with climate change. So those are very important things which are worrying us, but we are also working hard on to change. I think these are some of these topics that needs to be addressed. Apart from that, we are also a city that's one of the poorest cities in the Netherlands. As to my conviction, we need to help the people to really play a part in the energy transition, but also profit from the energy transition. So this is also a very main objective of our policies, to help people to get green energy, solar panels, isolation of homes, things like that. So it's not only our harbor we are worrying about, it's also our inhabitants we want to help.
That is a lot to consider and a lot to balance. Yeah. Because you talk about the fact that there's 20% of total emissions from the Netherlands coming from the port, or not from necessarily from the port, but from industry within Rotterdam. Yeah. That is a great deal. And obviously, you're trying to balance continuing with your industrial activities and growing them, but while continuing to promote sustainability and the sustainability agenda. How do you achieve that balance?
Yeah, the most important thing is that it's not only the city government that wants the energy transition. We need these companies to really, really want to change their operations. So we have Shell, BP, Esso, all these major industries. And our national government is also working on making deals with this industry, like green policies, to change their system for not using fossil anymore, but going to hydrogen, for instance. We're also going to nuclear energy in the Netherlands. We already have nuclear energy in another part of the Netherlands. So we want to really get this green energy mix bigger. We have a lot of windmills on sea, but also on land. So we need this green energy to change these companies into a different way of production. So making all these products we need as consumers, not in a fossil way, but in a green way. But therefore, it also costs a lot of money, of course, from the companies, but also the national government. They are financing, subsidizing the change of these companies. And what we do as a city, as a government, together with the national government, but also the port authority, which is ours, we are the main shareholder of the port authority, also the Netherlands national government, but we as a city as well. So we, with the port authority, are investing in infrastructure for hydrogen, shore power, wind energy. So we all take a part, we play a role in this whole transition. It costs a lot of money, but it also costs a lot of conviction together and cooperation together. We have to do this. So this is one way we are. So for us, cooperation with companies, with the port authority, with all the governments is very important.
Conviction and cooperation. That does sound like the recipe for success. But as you say, it requires the green policies to support and the investment into making this change. And I'd like to know a little bit more from a policy perspective, and perhaps, you know, it's your policies within Rotterdam, but also within the Netherlands. What kind of policies are really supporting this change? And what policies specifically are you putting your weight behind to really drive this energy transition?
Yeah, well, I think when we are talking about the port authority or the port, then we have a green industrial policies, which is coming from the national government. So they're making agreements with all these industry to change their way of operating. We as a city are, as a shareholder of the port authority, are investing in infrastructure. So we have pipelines for hydrogen. We are investing. We are also investing in a big project, which is called Porthos. And that's to capture carbon and storage carbon, CCS system, which is in like gas fields in the North Sea. So we are working on that together with all these governments. But we are also investing to capture and storage CO2 emissions under the sea. But we are also investing in shore power so we can implement these electrification of industry, but also mobility. So it takes a lot of investing we are doing. So that's the money. Money makes the change easier, of course, but also companies invest. Like Shell is building one of the biggest hydrogen fabric in plants in Rotterdam now. So they are working on it right now. So there's a lot of finance coming along, but also regulation, of course. And well, since this is this huge harbor with international companies, we really want an equal play field with other. So we have to do this in a European combination. And I think the European Green Deal has really made a change. So this has been very important because that comes, level playing field. That's very important in Europe, regulations on CO2 emissions, but also money, as I told you just now. So I think the European Green Deal has been very important. So I really hope that will continue. As a city, we're, of course, not only investing in the harbor, what I just like shore power and all infrastructure, but also we are investing in helping our citizens. And that's since I'm an alderman from a city with, like, as I told you, people with not a lot of money. That's what my main concern also is. How do I get these people to really participate, but also profit from this transition? So that's another part, which is more focused on our inhabitants, on the Rotterdammers, to say. Those are, I think, the pillars of our policy is to do this energy transition in different ways due to, what really is the question, what needs to be changed, but with conviction and cooperation in the harbor, but also in our cities, with house social buildings, the corporation that have the social buildings, we work together with them. So that's what we do in the city. And that's the energy transition part. We also have, of course, climate adaptation, since we are already in a city with flooding and things like that. And circularity. And I think the last circularity is also very important and complex issue. So we have energy transition, climate adaptation, but also circularity as our pillars of our policies.
Thank you for explaining that to me and to our listeners. I think it gives us a good idea and a good perspective of how Rotterdam is changing and the focus of the policies, of the change, of the investments. You mentioned Project Porthos, and I want to just maybe touch on that a little bit. Are there any other projects that you believe really represent this energy transition?
Yeah, I'm an alderman for climate, but also for housing and building. So I really want to combine these three responsibilities I have. So my main focus is in the city, since we already have an alderman based on the harbor. My main focus is really in the city. And one of the urban development projects we have, it's called Merwe Vierhavens. And that's those are four harbors. So that's part of the harbor that's not in the harbor really anymore, because the harbor has been built towards the North Sea. We are expanding our harbor. We have been doing this the last 20, 30 years. So the harbor has been growing to the North Sea. And the more inner city harbor and via areas, we are changing them into living, recreation, but also working environments. And one of these harbors is called the Merwe Vierhavens, and that's where we really want to build a climate neutral area. So everything is electrified, built with as much wood, like sustainable building policies, less cars. That's a big transition, the mobility transition, not only to electrify our cars and public transport, but also to use it little less. So people we want to have the workplace close to the living space, so people don't have to commute. But when they commute, we prefer them to use the bike or a public transport. So we need to invest in good public transport over there, but also good cycling lanes and things like that. So these are areas, and I think really believe that in urban development, we should really, sustainability should be at the heart of it, at the core of it, which is also not only the mobility, but also the, as I told you, the way we build our homes, that's sustainable, but also the planning of which function is due in which area close to each other. And of course, last but not least, very green. So we are making extra parks because it's for climate adaptation also, but also heat. The heat, because even in the Netherlands, everybody thinks, oh, the Netherlands very in the north, but we have our warm summers. It looks like south of Spain nowadays. So it's been very much warmer than it used to be. And people need green and trees to have a nice atmosphere to live in. So we are really investing in more and more green. So these neighborhoods like Mary Vierhavens is also a neighborhood where we invest in those kinds of things, not only in the living environment, but also working. So this will be a part, Mary Vierhavens, but also on the other side of the river, we have the RDM, where there is a circular economy. Oh, and that's where the innovation is really taking place. We have startup, scale up, but also education, work together, university, also from Delft, but also Rotterdam, our higher education, working together with local scale ups, startups, to really invent new products. And we will also want to give space to when they are big enough to expand as a company. So those are new products, like how to a battery for hydrogen, or how to recycle plastic and get better plastic back. Those are examples of which are more small projects, but I believe in the big and the small. We really want to be innovative in all these products we need for the energy transition. These are things we are doing in our harbor and in the urban planning projects. What we also do in the city for people who don't have a lot of money, we hire energy handymen to help these people make changes in their house for better isolation or solar panels or electrifying of their cooking, because we want to get rid of gas, of course. So we are removing gas from homes. We're doing this in 5 neighborhoods now. So people won't be cooking on gas or warming their house on gas anymore, but will use electrification or warmth that's been captured from the harbor. So we have this warmth from the industrial heat, and we use it as warming houses. So instead of gas, we have these warm pipelines and electrifying for the cooking. So we're changing and we're helping people to make the changes in-house. We're also subsidizing these changes, but also not only money, but also hands to help people to do so.
I once had a conversation with someone who said Rotterdam is a can-do city. And from what you're telling me, it appears to be true. There is a lot going on and a lot of sustainability initiatives that are coming to the table, which is very exciting. Of all of the things you've been talking about, something that really hits home is how people are at the center of everything that you're doing to help and support and be inclusive. And perhaps that is a good segue into my next question. You know, you referred to the World Energy Congress, which is happening in Rotterdam. I think this is a two-part question. First of all, why is Rotterdam the perfect city to host this event? And secondly, would you say that the fact that your energy transition is so people-focused is actually going to gel with the themes of the conference, perhaps?
I think Rotterdam is a good place because, as I mentioned before, we are the second city of the Netherlands. We are very the industrial heart of the Netherlands. We are a small country, of course, in the Netherlands. We are laying low, below sea level. And Rotterdam is really, really below sea level. So we are in this delta. We experience climate change. It's a real threat for Rotterdam. So it's in our best interest to work with it. We need to do it. But we are also one of the great polluters of the Netherlands. So we have a huge task and we have a huge responsibility, but we also have a huge stake in that energy transition and climate adaptation, that it will succeed. It's one of our best interests to do so. So that's, I think we can be a good example to look, what if the heat is on? Well, here it is. And I'm not claiming that we are the only city in the whole world that is in this situation, but we are in this situation with other cities as well. But as I travel or speak my European colleagues, I sometimes am jealous that the only thing they have to do is electrify their mobility. And then the city is climate neutral. And I'm glad for them, of course. But I think, I would really be glad if we are climate neutral in 2030. That is too big a task for Rotterdam. But we should do everything to be climate neutral in 2050. And we set our goals also for 2030. But climate neutrality is not realistic here. So I think we are a place where people can see what you can see everything, what can be done to transform your industry, to help people. So this is every example is in Rotterdam because we have to do everything. And so that's why I think we are interesting to visit and to welcome everybody in the World Energy Congress. And we really want to showcase all these kinds of things. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you say, we are a can-do city, and that's what I really like about Rotterdam. And I'm a real Rotterdammer because I'm a can-do person. So I really would like everybody to see what we are doing. We are doing the big things, but we are also doing the small things that are needed, because you have to innovate. We are working together with all these universities to really implement or think about new ideas, not only technological, but also how people will use it. Because it's not only the technology, it's also to really get people step in. And that's, I think, your second question. Why is it so important to be people-focused? Because when people don't work with it, don't believe in it, energy transition will not happen. That's my conviction. Because it's also a change of behavior. And a change of behavior is difficult for people. So that's why I'm really adamant to, one of my pillars is what I really think is very important, to get people believing in the necessity of the transition, but also see the profit, because otherwise they won't go and step in.
Chantal, you are speaking about the social side of the energy transition at the Congress. Are those the kinds of topics you're going to be covering?
Yes, I think it's very nice. I'm happy that the World Energy Congress is focusing on humanizing energy. And I strongly believe in this. Energy is for people. And I really want to focus on the humanizing part of it. Because people need energy. It should be affordable. It should be there. People should have access to energy. And it should be just sustainable, of course. But I think even in the Netherlands, we have problems with accessibility of energy and of affordability of energy. Energy is very expensive in the Netherlands. It's more expensive than a lot of surrounding countries. So that's a really big problem, that people cannot afford energy anymore. So that's a very important thing. How do we reduce the cost of energy so it's affordable for people? But also, how do we make it accessible. One subject in a part of Rotterdam, it's called Hoek van Holland. It's a small small area. They are looking towards, I think, 100 windmills. There are in the close to the harbor lake, they have 100 windmills in their view, but they have net congestion, so they can't electrify their cars anymore because there is congestion on the infrastructure. I think that's not the way we should do this. You have a view. Nobody in the Netherlands, windmills aren't very popular, so people don't like the view, the windmills. So they are not very happy at their view, but they don't profit from those windmills. So I think that's something we should change. So these humanizing sides of energy is about things like this. It's in Africa, of course, where there is a lack of energy and high cost. But even in developed countries like the Netherlands, this is going on. So that should be our main concern, that people can profit from green energy. So that's what I think is important to highlight in the Congress. And I will be talking about that.
As a diehard Rotterdammer, I can hear the passion with which you explain these things to us, which is wonderful. You're clearly connected to the topic, to the people, to the energy transition on a personal level. Was there a moment in your life that was really impactful or that really set you on this path that you're on now in terms of your career, but perhaps even on a personal level?
Yeah, I think the reason that's like maybe two reasons. One big reason is I feel very responsible that my children, but also the children of other people, of course, and the children of our children will have a better future and will live on a sustainable planet. And I'm really worried that we are not doing the right things now. So it really, I'm a mother of two sons. They are like in their 20s. So I think, and their children, they deserve a good world. So that's something I don't know. It's just something I believe in, that we are responsible, not only for ourselves, but also for the people living now in other countries, but also people who are not living yet, but will be living hopefully in the future. You're not alone on this world. So that's a conviction. I don't know where that comes from, but I really believe in this. And I really, that's why I went into politics as well. The other thing is also that I think we are sometimes in the Netherlands, the discussion around energy transition has been very polarized. So we have people, lots of protests against, for instance, windmills, but also against the change in farming in the Netherlands. So we are against each other. It's a polarized world, and I think that's very bad. So we have to take care of our future generations, but we also have to have a good dialogue with all our fellow citizens, because we have to do it together. Even if we are, so I'm a little bit of a, we call it a vredesduif in the Netherlands, which is called a dove of peace. But I really think we should be able to talk to each other in a rational but also empathetic way about what we believe in and what will contribute to a better world.
Well, perhaps if our energy transition is very people-centered, and, you know, like you say, we can actually demonstrate the benefits to the communities, perhaps that'll reduce the polarization that seems to be taking place. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a very good remark you make, because that's why I'm always very fond of showcasing. It's possible. It's possible. We have to believe that it's possible, that it's accessible for everyone. So to showcase good examples gives hope. And I think hope is what's needed. And everybody can contribute, everybody. I think it's very wrong to be moralizing. So there's a thin line, but I don't want to be moralizing, because I think people, really Dutch people, really hate moralization. So that won't help. And I think we have to really respect everybody's position and be empathetic about what is holding people back. So if you want to really believe that everybody should participate, you should really be interested. It's why are they not participating? because in the end, I have a very optimistic view on people. Sometimes I'm disappointed, but in the end, I really have a positive view about human nature. I think there's always something holding them back. People want to do good. People are happier when they are doing good. So people want to do good, but how can we inspire people to do the right thing?
That makes perfect sense. And I love the fact that you are optimistic about people and human nature. I think sometimes we do fall into a trap of pessimism. But Chantal, it has been such a pleasure to speak with you. And I think just to get some insight into Rotterdam and what's happening there. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure to be here. So I'm very looking forward to the Congress and talk with all these people about this very important task we all have.
Well, I can't wait. And for our listeners, we will include some information about the Congress in the post. But for now, thank you so much, Chantal, for joining us. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions Podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.